Greetings and welcome everybody to the Feast of Tabernacles in the Philippines. I don't know which day of the feast it is right now, but I'm here in Ohio and I'm going to deliver a sermon for you all. And I just want to say that I remember being in the Philippines a few years ago. I have a lot of great memories from being there, the volcano experience, talking to each and every one of you, having those dinners together, and the Banayaman night. Again, I think I'm saying that wrong, so forgive me, but it was a great, enjoyable experience. And when Bill told me that you wanted a sermon for the feast, I thought about your situation, the fact that you were not able to meet like you had when I was there a few years ago, and I hope that situation will change soon. And that's what I want to talk about today, is change in our mindset when we think about moving into God's kingdom. So again, I want to keep this themed on the God's kingdom and tabernacles and things of that nature, but the message may be a little different than some of the messages I delivered to you when I was there a few years ago. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to connect you to a major change that has just occurred in my life and some analogies that I can draw from my move to California with our move into God's kingdom. So that's kind of where I'm going with this message today. And I know many of you, I've talked to many of you, where you're going through medical issues, you're going through relationship issues, you've told me some of those stories, and all of those things cause change in life. So I want you to hear this from that standpoint also, that we're always going through change, and that major change that we're going into the kingdom with, that's the most important one that we want to reflect on when we go through these other smaller changes. Now, to begin with, I want to start in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 24. So I've got four or five major points to make, and I will reiterate those points to make sure you don't miss them. But point number one is when we think about getting into God's kingdom, moving into that kingdom, that change into that kingdom, we've got to have a focus. We've got to have a one-track mind to get into God's kingdom. And a great scripture for that is found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 24. And let me go ahead and read this to you. Matthew 6, and I'll start in verse 24. It says this, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If I can make one point about the change you need to get to God's kingdom, it's to maintain that focus on getting to God's kingdom. Once you lose that focus, and it's very easy to do in this life, you're going to run into trouble. You're going to run into problems. Don't lose that focus. So how do I relate this to my move to California? Well, I got to tell you, there were a lot of issues that arose that got in the way of moving to California. But what did I do? Once my wife and daughter told me they wanted to go there, I made a commitment that we were going to go there no matter what. So what I did first was I sold my house in Maryland. We had a deadline now. We had to leave Maryland, okay, by a certain date. So that created greater focus on getting out to California and finding a new home. And believe me, it was not easy. It was a 19-day process. I was trying to continue to work for the church while I was there and also going out and looking for a home each day. So it was a very hectic and stressful time. And we all run into stressors. We all run into not enough time to do this or that in life. But you've got to maintain that focus on the kingdom. Never lose sight of that focus on the kingdom. Sometimes you do have to burn those bridges to maintain that focus, if you get my drift here. Old relationships, old jobs, you get the idea, old churches for some of us. We have to let them go to get our mind focused on that new reality we are trying to achieve. I not only sold my house as one reason to get out to California, but we drove our van out there and left it with my brother. So now there was no turning back. We had to get to California to get to our vehicle also. So again, think of how to relate that to the life you're leading today. Are you really putting everything out there and not turning back? Remember Lot's wife, not turning back. Don't turn back. You got to move forward. You got to focus on that kingdom that is out there. And you can do that with these various tools or techniques that I'm trying to analogize to my move to California. Another point that I'd like to make is my wife actually had second thoughts when we got back home about the house we had picked in California. We had lost a couple houses that we really wanted, and then we found one that she said she wanted. But then she had second thoughts when we got back home. I said, "This is what you and my daughter have wanted to do. We're going to do it." So we kept going with it. But here's what I'm trying to say. Life will bring up these barriers. Life will bring up these issues that are trying to stop you from getting to that goal of the kingdom. Don't let anything get in the way of that most important goal in life. A second major point here, I'm going to use Matthew 13 and verse 20 to address this point. Matthew 13 and verse 20, let me find that for you here. Here's what it says, Matthew 13, 20. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Now again, I talked about focus in the first point. This second point is similar, but a little different. Tribulation or persecution can get in the way of our goal of achieving God's kingdom. Now, what happened to me right about a week and a half before our move to California, I came out of the grocery store and found a truck embedded in my car in the parking lot. The driver got out, apologized for running into my car, and now I had to get the car fixed before I could drive to California with the truck. We only had a week and a half, and this individual did not call his insurance company to give his version of the incident so they could get the ball rolling so my car could get fixed. I had to call the insurance company. I had to call the individual to get the ball rolling. Again, persecution, tribulation. In this case, it was a little tribulation for me that came up that was trying to stop me. Once we began to fill the truck with our belongings, I had an experience there. I drove a 26-foot truck into my neighborhood. It's a cul-de-sac. You go around a little circle. There's a big tree in the circle. And I was trying to back up this large truck I was not familiar with into my driveway. What I did was I embedded the truck into that tree. As I went forward, which I could not tell in this 26-foot truck, I drove over 8 mailboxes of my neighbor's and my own mailbox. I got out of the truck and was stuck, and my brother pointed to the mailboxes, which I didn't even know I had run over. Again, some tribulation here, folks, on this particular move. So what I did was I got a ladder. I climbed up on top of the truck. Luckily, the branch was broken a bit. I shook it for about 5 minutes until it broke, dumped it down. Now I had to do something about the mailboxes. And I'll get to this point a little bit later. One of the fellows who was helping me from my church said, "I can fix this if you don't need me to do the moving for you." He immediately went to work, got all the materials, put up a great mailbox stand, and fixed 8 new mailboxes there for my neighbors. So again, tribulation will occur. Once we had all the heavy stuff on the truck, I thought we were good to go. It took 3 more days for my wife to determine what she was going to leave, what we were going to give to Goodwill, the Salvation Army, friends, and what I was going to take to the dump. It was 3 more days of activity, almost from morning to night, as I traveled around in another smaller truck, moving these different things to different places. I wanted to leave on a Wednesday, but I factored in I could leave on a Thursday. It turned out I had to leave on a Thursday. And what happens on Thursday as I'm driving the truck? We have to put the car on the back on a little dolly. Well, I thought I understood the directions on how to do that, but we could not do it. Something was wrong with the dolly. Luckily, again, I called a friend who was mechanically inclined. He came and helped us. I must admit, my wife began to figure it out before he got there, but he was able to make sure everything was hooked up correctly, and we were able to drive the truck to California. My brother and I and his wife drove the truck to California. My wife and daughter flew. So once again, as I was on this trip to California, tribulation occurred. Once again, my cat would not eat. We were carrying my cat to California in the truck, and now I was worried that my cat was going to starve to death. So I made sure I got there in 2.5 days. After a couple more days in California, my cat began to eat again. My point, and there are other things I'm not going to tell you about because I don't have time, but my point in this is life will bring tribulation. Life will even bring persecution. But you've got to be grounded. You've got to be grounded to continue that journey. Don't allow those roadblocks to get in the way. You go around them. You go over them. You do not stop to get to that kingdom of God that we all are seeking and want to get to. Don't let persecution and tribulation stop you. And folks, after all that, I hope that gets you fired up about overcoming your persecution and tribulation in life, because it's going to be there. Another thing that many people don't do, especially newer Christians, when they understand the promise of the kingdom and they're excited about the promise of the kingdom, they don't do something early on in their Christian walk that the Bible says is very important, very, very important. And let's remind ourselves about this. We find this in Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, he doesn't mean hate as we understand hate. He means like less than what you're really focused on. That's what he's getting at here. Notice what he says further, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Folks, we gotta finish. We gotta finish the race. We gotta endure to the end. And right at the beginning of your Christian walk, you've got to count that cost and understand what it's going to take to get there. Believe me, I knew about the cost of living in California. Believe me, I knew what a 2,600-mile drive in a truck was going to do, or in a van also was going to do. I understood this. I knew that we'd have to get this new thing and that new thing and leave this old thing and that old thing, put my daughter into a new school, have my wife try to find employment out there. All of these things were costs for what we were trying to do. I was leaving behind a church in Maryland. I thought about that way ahead of time, and I had an elder that we just laid hands on recently, Michael Reese, who is now the pastor of the church that I used to be the pastor of. So again, I thought about all these things long before I made the move to California. I counted the cost and knew what I was getting in for. And when the persecution and tribulation came, I was able to work through it. We have to count the cost as Christians. We've got to be ready for what is going to come upon us. Because notice what it says there, that some people mocked those who could not finish their job. What will people do when you claim to be a Christian and you fall away? What are they going to think of you? What is that example going to be for Christianity as a whole? You've got to maintain your focus. You've got to keep going no matter what. No matter what. Matthew 19 and verse 29 reiterates this point. I'd like to read this scripture, Matthew 19 and verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Here are the riches of the kingdom of God. Not only everlasting life, but you will receive a hundredfold. Remember the parable of the men who got 5 cities or 10 cities or 15 cities based upon what they were doing for the kingdom in this life. Don't forget those lessons, folks. Don't forget what is out there in that kingdom. When I keep that in my mind, everything else pales in significance. Everything else becomes secondary. I had a one-track mind to get to California. Imagine how I feel about getting to the kingdom, okay? California is not the kingdom, folks, all right? But it was a goal for me. And once I get a goal, folks, I go for it. Believe you me, knowing what the kingdom is all about, I will not stop in my quest to get to that kingdom. I won't be stopped from getting to that kingdom of God. We've got to have that same attitude. Another point to make here, that you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Now, why do I say that? Notice what John 3:16 says, and you've heard it before, but let me give you a twist on John 3:16. And remember what I told you about the help I received from a couple of brethren in the church when those roadblocks appeared before me. John 3:16, notice what God says. For God so loved the world, not one pocket of the world, not one country of the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The point I make about this scripture, God's saying he wants everybody to have it. Everybody to partake of that kingdom. Not everybody will. That's evident in scripture. But what is God's purpose? What did he want? He wanted everybody to have it. And he says this more than once. I will give you one other scripture, even though there are more. I'm turning to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 says this, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?" God wants to save all. So here's my question, though. Why? Why does God want to save all? What do we get from community? What do we get from relationship? And I remember being in the Philippines. I remember the night we had that big gathering. I forget how you say the word, Banayaman night. You're going to have to tell me again. I'm saying it wrong. But that was one of the nicest nights of the feast because we were all gathered together, eating together, drinking together, talking together, and it just felt like home. That relationship that we built there on that evening during that feast, it's still with me today because God is about relationship. God has created all these people in the world today because he knows the power of relationship, the power that people bring to each other. And we need that, and it will be there in the kingdom. So how do you use that today? Use your friendships in the church like I did. My man who built the post office boxes back up for me. My man, the mechanic who came and made sure that the dolly on the truck was connected correctly so I didn't lose my car along the way. And I can tell you other stories. My brother who drove with me, who's in the church, one of my brothers is, he drove with me, his wife did also, they drove with me out to Flagstaff, Arizona. He drove some of the miles for me, I let them off there, they went to visit the Grand Canyon, and then I finished my drive to California. But his help helped me get there in 2.5 days rather than 4 or 5 days. Again, the help I received from the elder back in Maryland, Mike Reese. Mike has allowed me to store some extra boxes in his garage until I come back to Maryland after this year's feast and drive a smaller truck to retrieve the rest of our belongings and bring them to California. My mother-in-law and my mother are going to be living with us there, so we had a number of boxes and things that were not able to come to California with us on my first trip. The individual who fixed my car in a timely manner in order to be able to tow it to California. Again, he's not even in the church, but you see the community here that people will help you. Oh, sure, I had to pay him, but he tried to get it done faster than he typically would because I told him about my situation. So in seeing all that, I thought about this scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to begin reading there in verse 12. It says the following, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, Americans or Filipinos, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." When I was in the Philippines during the Feast of Tabernacles, it felt like I was in the United States at the Feast of Tabernacles with people I had known for many years. It felt that good. It felt like home. And that's to your credit for being able to bring that up. When I'm a stranger from a strange land, I felt at home in the Philippines. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Important point to note, God sets the members in the body, all right? So don't be angry at this member in the body or upset at that member in the body. Don't look at this one askance or that one have an issue with, because God has put them all in the body. Don't ever forget that. Verse 20, but now are there many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Get that point. Those that seem to be more feeble are necessary, because in some instances they build you up. They make you more patient. They make you into a greater person than you are now if you didn't have to deal with all these different personality conflicts. You will rise above it because God has decided who should be in that body. Don't you ever think that someone should not. Keep that lesson in mind here. You can't do it without your friends, without other colleagues in the church. And let's not forget, God wants to save everyone. That those on the outside, like the fella at the car place who fixed my car quicker than he usually would because I made a request and told him my situation. There is good in all. There's bad in all too. And there are extremes, no doubt. But God wants to save everyone, and we can't get to the kingdom without the help and fellowship of our brethren within the church. Use that. Use those relationships to build you up and make you stronger as you go for that goal of reaching God's kingdom. Another final point I think I'm going to make here is that when you come down to it, you know, all of these are good things that can help us get to that kingdom. But when we come down to the nitty-gritty, I'm going to read this scripture to you, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. I want to set up this point with this scripture, Philippians chapter 2 and 12. Here's what it says. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When we come down to it in the end, it's between you and your elder brother, Jesus Christ. That relationship is what matters the most. It doesn't matter what Susie says. It doesn't matter what Jeff is doing. What matters most is your relationship with Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That's got to be all there, connected, intertwined, to get you into that kingdom. Now, when you think about that relationship, I can analogize this with the drive to California. So my brother and his wife are along with me on the drive, and they're keeping me awake when I'm dozing a little bit. Then my brother takes over for a while and drives, gives me a rest. Okay, the cat, we finally found it. We lost the cat along the way. She was hidden under a seat in the truck. Okay, so that scared us that we had lost our cat. So, but my brother stuck his hand in there and found her. So all that help along the way was there. But when I got to Flagstaff, Arizona, in the middle of the night, 2 a.m, I had to let my brother and his wife off because they were going to go on vacation to the Grand Canyon. Now I realized I needed to stay awake. And believe me, I was tired. I had to stay awake the rest of the night to get to my home because my other brother in Glendale, California, was coming out with helpers to help me unload that truck at a specific time. So now it was up to me to stay awake, turn the radio on, buy an energy drink. I had to stay awake throughout the night, and I did, because it wasn't just me, folks. God was my co-pilot. God was with me, and I never lost sight of that. It's all about you and your relationship to God in the end. Yeah, we've made all these points about getting to the kingdom, but when you come down to the nitty-gritty, it's your relationship with God. And don't forget, He is always there. He will never leave you and forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13. Mark this one in your Bible. Put some yellow coloring on it, red coloring, put a star on it, and don't ever forget this scripture as you think about moving into God's kingdom, as I was moving to California. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says this: "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For ye have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Folks, that's embedded in my mind. The Lord is my helper. He will not leave me. Friends will leave you. Family may leave you. Relationships may leave you. Jobs may leave you. This world is going to leave you. You're going to die someday. But you've got the promise from God that He will never leave you. The thing you got to do is believe it. You got to believe it. You've got to have the faith and the fortitude to marshal on no matter what gets in the way, because He's there. He is there. You can't see Him. You can't touch Him, but He's there. He's there. Believe it. When you believe it, you live life from a totally different perspective. You are not afraid. You will go where you need to go, and you will do what you need to do. Yeah, roadblocks may appear, but you're going to make it, and you have the faith and belief that you are going to make it. Now, I hope this analogy to my California move and the experiences that occurred in getting there, hopefully you can relate that to your own life. And let me just reiterate, you've got to stay laser focused on that kingdom. Whatever your goals are in life, you've got to maintain those goals in order to achieve them. The other thing you've got to do is you've got to overcome the troubles, the persecution, the problems that arise in life. It's part of life. It's going to happen. Sickness is going to happen. Relationship difficulties are going to happen. You're going to lose jobs. You're going to have trouble with people in church. It doesn't matter. That's part of the story. It's part of the plan. Use Christ as your example. He died for you. He took it on for you. Many of us will not have to go through what Christ went through for you. You can do it. You can do it. Keep moving through the troubles. Don't stop. There is going to be a cost. No doubt about it. As a Christian, there's going to be a cost. I could not take certain jobs when I had my government work. I did not try for certain jobs because I knew it could not fit into my Christian mentality for what I was up for in life. I could not accept this job. I could not do that job because it was going to take me to work on the Sabbath or stop me from being involved in the holy days. There is a cost to you as a Christian. You've got to know that and count that that's going to be there. Finally, you need help. You get it from the brethren. Without my contractor there from church building those mailboxes for me again, without the mechanic making sure the dolly was secured correctly, without my elder back in Maryland letting me store boxes in his house, without my brother driving along with his wife, I couldn't have made it on my own. I couldn't have made it on my own. Use the church, the body of the church, to help you along this path to the kingdom. We can't do it alone and separate. We are not the ascetics who are going to go into the desert and live by ourselves. That is not Christianity. Christianity is a communal event. It's a communal relationship. God wants to save everyone for a reason. He doesn't want just a select group. Use the people in the church. And if you've got issues with the people in the church, fantastic. You've got something to overcome. You've got something to overcome. Overcome it. Overcome it. Don't continue and disregard individuals in the church just because you've had an issue with them years ago. Overcome the problem. Rise above it, just like Jesus Christ did on this earth. Finally, when you get down to it, it's between you and Jesus Christ. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. In the end, like I was driving in the middle of the night for the last, I don't know, 8-10 hours. I forget how many hours it was. I had to get there on my own. But I knew this. I was not alone. Don't forget, He's with you. He's with you. Don't forget, I can't say it enough, He is with you when everyone else will forsake you. I hope this message has inspired you to reach for that kingdom of God which is out there. It's coming, folks. You've got to fight and fight to get there. Don't quit. Keep fighting for God's kingdom.